Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A few days away from football and shorts, from the start of the start, from the first introductions for some we get to know this weekend on the South Side. A good Tuesday afternoon, everybody, on May 7th, 2024 on the South Side beat, as we are Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, here on DK Pittsburgh Sports. He is Chris Halleck. I am Corey Crisson. The most intriguing rookie is blank. With you to fill in the blank. I want to fill in the blank. Chris wants to fill in the blank. We will do that today. There are plenty of rookies, obviously, that are adding intrigue to the Steelers this year. Obviously, when you look at the draft, going through the order, Troy Faletanu being the highest profiled with the first round pick. You look at Roman Wilson. You look at Peyton Wilson. You look at all of the rookies that were not just picked, but picked in really different manners and for different reasons. And now it's all coming together starting on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun for sure. Get to see these guys in Steelers gear for the first time. And obviously it's just rookie minicamp. It is the very, very beginning. It's not even... I don't even hardly want to call it football activity, even though it is technically football activity, but it's still going to be a lot of fun, especially, you know, once OTAs begin, how they begin to get acclimated there. The real fun begins in La Trobe, which, you know, that's still a few months away, but yeah, man, it's exciting. It's a really good draft class. Some intriguing undrafted free agents as well, which I'll be writing about here this week. And yeah, man, it's really interesting. And I would think for me, well, I'll let you answer first. Who is your most intriguing rookie? Because there's a good argument to be made for, shoot, man, like I'd say at least three or four just out of the draft class, much less the undrafted free agents. But who's your favorite?
The most intriguing rookie to me, and I could have gone, I think, several different ways with this, but the most intriguing rookie to me is, without a question, Mason McCormick. And here's why. Here's why, okay? I think it's pretty obvious to sit here and say, Troy Faletanu, because where's Broderick Jones going to play? Is he going to play left or right? It's easy to say Roman Wilson because... is he going to slot in at X, Y, Z, whatever it may be? It's easy to say Peyton Wilson because of what you've written about in your Chalk Talk and Zach Frazier because of the immediate need at center. But Mason McCormick, to me, as a backup swing guard, so to speak, in that Nate Herbig role, it's so important, I think, for McCormick to develop the way that they want him to develop. And as Jordan says here, could be a fixture for years. I'm not going to go that far ahead. But given James Daniels' contract situation, Nate Herbig's contract situation, they drafted McCormick when they did and for the reason they did, because they see him as an important piece down the road. This year is going to be a redshirt year for him, if you want to put it that way. He was outstanding at South Dakota State, the best guard, best interior lineman in football championship subdivision. But now the Steelers are looking at a piece who they got at a value price in the fourth round that they expect to have a long-term value on. Now, Mason McCormick isn't going to immediately slot, you know, ahead of Seumalo or Daniels, but they need Mason McCormick to develop the way that they are projecting him to. Mm-hmm. And if they feel like Mason McCormick has, then they can let James Daniels go. They don't have to pay top dollar for another guard. They can move McCormick to right. They can move Seumalo to right, whatever they want to do with it. But point is that pick was made, in my opinion, as the, I want to call it the outcast of the draft, because I don't think anybody went into that draft thinking the Steelers need a guard. The Steelers have to go get a guard at some point. This was a draft pick made off the beaten path, so to speak, of yes, they needed a center. Yes, they needed a tackle. Yes, they needed a receiver. Yes, they needed a DB. Yes, they needed a D-line. They checked every box and then found that piece guard. You argue for best player available. You argue for long-term looking. That's it right there at Mason McCormick. So, yeah, he's not going to start week one, but he's going to be an important piece for this offensive line beyond this season. And if they think that Mason McCormick is the future at right guard, then, as Anthony says, do you trade James Daniels? Do you not just not re-sign him? What do you do with James Daniels? That's going to have so many different domino effects along this line that now has two more rookies with Troy Faltanu and Zach Frazier, and a second-year first-round pick in Broderick Jones.
Yeah, to Anthony's point really quick, you know, include Daniels in a trade for a receiver. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like,
yeah,
you're not going to take a fourth-round pick, regardless of his accolades at the college level, and make him your unquestioned starting guard, whether that you would move Seumalo over to the right side so that McCormick could, you know, just fill right in on the left side like he did in college. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do anything like that. You're not going to just hand the reins over to a fourth round rookie and say, here you go, kid, starting job's yours.
Right.
You know, that's not how that's how NFL teams would, that's how GMs and coaches would get fired. You know, the draft is meant for, especially the further and further you get into the draft, you're not necessarily thinking about the upcoming season. You know, it's the same reason why they take a Nick Herbig, you know, as they did last year at the time that they took him, because obviously don't need immediate help at edge rusher because you had TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. And even after they took Herbig, I believe it was after the draft is when they signed Marcus Golden.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. So even after they took Herbig in the draft, they still went and got an accomplished veteran that could come in and be a third guy. You're just not going to give mid to late round rookies that type of immediate reward of being like, here's a starting job for you. Now, does Mason McCormick look like a guy that could be a starter come year two? 100%.
Right.
I think that the potential is definitely there, but at least, you know, with keeping Daniels and Seumalo together, which by the way is a pretty good guard tandem even compared to the rest of the league, you've got a guy who can learn, you know, through going through the entire motions of an entire NFL season, maybe even get on the field occasionally, you know, if needed due to injury, and then be way more prepared in case he were to ever be asked to start in year two. So No, I would not anticipate either Seumalo or Daniels being involved in a trade offer, unless for whatever reason they see something in training camp or whatever else in which they're like, you know what, this kid can come in and start right away. But that won't be known for, I mean, we're talking probably August by the time training camp would come to an end.
Right. That's when we'll start to see more of Mason McCormick too. Now, think of a guy like Spencer Anderson last year. I mean, seventh round versus fourth round pick is apples and oranges. But Spencer Anderson right away came in, played special teams, and got a hat every week.
Mm-hmm.
So if they think as highly as they do about Mason McCormick, he's going to play on special teams. He's going to get some snaps, you know, as a field goal blocking guard. He's going to see the field in some capacity. And of course, if knock on wood, Seumalo or Daniels go down, they want an option like him that's ready to go. And then what you can do is you can move Herbig to center more full-time behind Frazier. You can kind of have Herbig take more reps as the second team center. What about you, Chris? The most intriguing rookie for you?
Well, I just wrote about him. That's Peyton Wilson. Now, I've done chalk talks now on Faltanu, on Frazier, on McCormick, and Roman Wilson. So this is Peyton Wilson is actually the fifth guy I've written about.
Yeah.
But it's been the one I've been the one I had the most fun watching film on was Roman Wilson, but that's just because receivers my favorite position. But I was really, really intrigued to just dive into the film, dive into the data. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, man, if this guy, if health issues are not a thing with Peyton Wilson, we're talking about, I don't want to say he'll be the next Ryan Shazier because that's unfair, but the potential's there, man. Like it's just not. Man, it's actually unreal what he's capable of, because to me, there's nothing that you could point at in terms of his athletic ability, like something you can actually quantify, his 40 yard, you know, his 40 yard dash, his vertical, any of the other measurables that you have for his athleticism, or you could go to all the numbers and you can't find a weakness. The only thing that you can say is, okay, well, he played in the ACC and not at the Big Ten or the SEC. But, man, this kid checks all the boxes. The only box he doesn't check is, you know, sustainability in terms of health. He's already had two torn ACLs. He had a major shoulder injury. There's a report by NFL Network that says he's missing an ACL, which that's not the end of the world. You know, Hines Ward doesn't have one. Greg Lloyd, for those of you who remember the 90s Steelers, didn't have one. So the Steelers have a history of players who have had multiple players who have been missing ACLs and had successful careers. Obviously, Hines Ward, worthy of Hall of Fame discussion. Greg Lloyd, not quite so much, but Greg Lloyd was still one of the more feared pass rushers in the 90s across the entire NFL.
I call him Hall of Very Good. Yeah.
Yeah. He's absolutely worthy of consideration for, like, when you're talking about all time great Steelers, he's right there in that second to third tier. And so, Peyton Wilson, man, like if the missing ACL, if it's, you know, again, this is based on a report, I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. I'm not gonna pretend to know what's going on with them unless he just flat out tells me straight to my face. Yeah. I'm missing an ACL. Like, you know, cause then you're also flirting with HIPAA lines and all this kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
But either way, man, he doesn't miss tackles. Like per Pro Football Focus, missed only 4.7% of his tackle opportunities last year. Like, to put that in comparison, man, like Patrick Queen, I think it was like 14 or 16%, something like that. Like, geez, mm-hmm. Like the kid doesn't miss tackles. He is always around the ball. He's just a football player. Yeah. And he couples that with extreme athleticism. And so when we're talking about overall potential, especially for where you get him in the draft at 98th overall, man, it's just, it's really interesting because to me, it's one of those guys where if he catches fire right away, and I don't expect him to, because I would actually expect it to be more of like a Lawrence Timmons situation in which he comes in and there's not an immediate need there for him. You know, you got James Ferrier and Larry Foote in the middle. You don't need another, don't need Lawrence Timmons to come in and be, hey, we're relying on you. You know, mm-hmm. It was, hey, you know, you're the first guy to tag in whenever either James or Larry need a breather. And he came in and they had that trio did work. And I'm looking at now, it's probably going to be Patrick Queen and Alandon Roberts in the middle. And then, hey, as soon as somebody needs a breather, man, Peyton, go in there and do your thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a perfect opportunity for him to be eased into it, which is, you know, linebacker. It's a very complicated position. So I think that's a very, very intriguing pick. Probably the most interesting just because of how far he fell and the potential that's there if he can stay healthy.
And if and when Cole Holcomb comes back too, yep, you have him to factor in. Mm-hmm. The thing about Peyton Wilson's health is he's been healthy, knock on wood, for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a clean bill of health the last 2 years. And I understand longevity questions. how long does, if he does have one ACL, how long do his legs hold up? Mm-hmm. I understand where that comes from. And look, if he's a, call it a one contract player, okay, maybe you get four really good years out of him, and then who knows? Maybe you get five good years out of him. Who knows? Maybe you get two good years out of him. Who knows? But there's every single reason to believe, like you said, every box gets checked. The numbers, the production, all of that gets checked. The most important thing is the tape, as Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin have both said about Peyton Wilson. And I see, I watch ACC football clearly, for a lot of purposes.
Yeah.
And anytime I watched an NC State game, there's Peyton Wilson. Anytime somebody opposed NC State, pass, run, special teams, there's Peyton Wilson. And at the Senior Bowl, one of the few people I spoke to at Media Day was Peyton Wilson. And the way he carried himself, the way that he just gets it, it's different than a rookie. He's very mature for his age. I really appreciated getting to know him. And I think that he wanted to be in Pittsburgh. If you ask him, he's going to say, of course I did now. Mm-hmm. But I think that's this is a place he wanted to be, if you look at his lists, per se.
Right.
So I think this was one of the better landing spots for him. Not saying that just because I covered the team, but I'm saying that because fit, because like you said, he doesn't have to be on the field day one. He could come in and play 15, 20 snaps a game, whatever you need him to do.
Yep.
And he can cover, which is something that the Steelers sorely needed last year from the linebacker position. They got it when Cole Holcomb was healthy, and they got it a little bit from Quan Alexander, but they don't do it like Peyton Wilson does, and they don't have speed like Peyton Wilson does.
I mean, again, you can always question the GPS or whatever it is, but that I have a clip in the Chalk Talk, and it's the clip that's gone, you know, I want to say viral, but because that word's overused, but it's the clip that's definitely made the rounds on social media of where he chased down the Notre Dame receiver. He apparently got clocked at 23.7 miles per hour. Now, you could question the GPS or anything like that, but either way, if you just watch the film, the dude just flew down the field and chased down a receiver after being significantly behind him. Or as a receiver or tight end, I would assume it was a receiver, but either way, chase down a dude after being far behind the play. He's got game changing speed. And the one thing that I would say is he plays a lot like he has the same disposition or the same on field attitude as Mark Robinson. But if I had to compare the two, Mark Robinson, they're both heat-seeking missiles. It's just Mark Robinson's guidance system's a little wonky.
Right.
He's just looking for any of the 11 warm bodies that are on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and that's what he'll look for. Peyton Wilson actually has a pretty good guidance system inside that heat-seeking missile, and he knows where to go and when to put his foot in the ground and accelerate and go get whoever it is. And so I think that's another thing that goes along with it is that he's football smart. He's got a good IQ. He keeps his eyes up. He reads the play well. He looks like a first round caliber linebacker is what he looks like. Linebackers don't get a lot of love in today's NFL. You don't see a lot of linebackers go in the first round. I don't think any went in the first round this past year. So that's, you know, not too surprising. So I don't know, man. He's really interesting. Really interesting to me. What about undrafted free agents? If you had to choose one of the undrafted guys, who would be a guy that you're interested to see, especially this upcoming weekend, whenever you get their first glance, at least what they look like in a helmet and shorts?
Well, number one, I want to see if John Rhys-Plumlee truly is going to be just a quarterback or if he's going to do a little bit of everything.
Right. If he'll be a, what was it, Taysom Hill? Yeah.
I think there's a lot of intrigue around Beanie Bishop, but Dywan Edwards from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's something about these Georgia running backs in the NFL. Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel for a while. There's something about these Georgia running backs in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'm probably missing a couple. Like Cook, James Cook, I believe.
Yeah, I can't remember who.
There's
all.
Something about these Georgia running backs.
Yeah.
And if Edwards, I mean, he's listed at 5'9". Like, I understand he's a little undersized. But if they find something in him like they did with Jaylen Warren, I mean, you're talking about Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, and Edwards. If this kind of thing works out, I like that play. I like that a lot. Instead of going into the well for a running back in the sixth or trading back into the seventh or whatever it is, they waited on that, and they found a guy that comes from obviously a winning program. They love winning football players. Troy Fulton, who went to a national championship game. Roman Wilson is a national champion. Peyton Wilson was basically the defensive player of the year in college football.
He was.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
Logan Lee played for a really good defense at Iowa.
Yeah.
Watts, really good athlete, recruited by Ohio State, played at Texas, played winning ball at Texas. Yep. They love winning players. John Rhys Plumlee, even though he went to UCF, winning football player. This is a winning football player. What do you get with Edwards, the running back? That is the name that I'm keeping an eye on this weekend.
Hey, listen, you're not completely incorrect here. I got the stats pulled up here. I mean, 7 touchdowns in 2022, 13 last season. So that's 20 touchdowns over the past 2 seasons. And he averaged 5.5 yards a carry in 22 and 5.5 yards a carry and then 5.4 yards per carry last year. So, I mean, the biggest question with him is that he didn't test well during the draft process, the pre-draft process. He ran a 4.7 40. That's not terribly great. Unless you're a big power guy, like if you're a Najee Harris type. If you got the body of a Najee Harris and you're running 4.7, you can get away with it a little bit more because you've got the body to run people over at, you know, 5'10", 5'9", not quite sure how well you could do that. His relative athletic score is a 1.9 out of 10.
Not good.
The athleticism is questionable. And yeah, and listen, like Spice says, like Najee ran a 4.4. And listen, I'm not saying Najee was like that slow or anything. I'm just saying you could get away with a 4.7 40. If you're a big dude, he ran a 4.7. He is not a big dude. Like this kid we're talking about from Georgia. So really quick, just to clear this up. No,
Najee is
not going anywhere. Not unless some GM calls Omar Khan with a trade offer that absolutely knocks his socks off. Najee's not going anywhere. And I'm so glad that Jane Slater, the NFL Network reporter that covers the Cowboys, just put the cart out in front of the horse on that one and said a team source told her that it was just clickbait stuff. So, God, no, it's not happening.
No. Tyler, real quick, too. Tyler Boyd just signed with the Titans. So that was a target for the Steelers. For
everybody get Tyler Boyd out of your head and get Hunter Renfrow out of your head, man. Like, the Steelers don't need another slot receiver. They got Roman Wilson. They got, Quez Watkins. Those two guys alone are already slot. And then you're talking about Calvin Austin, possibly. You got Van Jefferson. You got Denzel Mims, possibly on the outside. But Tyler Boyd is a slot receiver. You already got 2, maybe 3. No. They don't need another one. So no. You don't need Tyler Boyd, and you don't need Hunter Renfrow.
No.
The UDFA that I'm really interested in is Beanie Bishop, and it's not only because the pre-draft numbers, the athletic numbers are really really intriguing. Ran a 4.39 in the 40, so he's fast. One of the main reasons why is because this kid really looks like a playmaker, and he fills an immediate need at slot corner if he were to come in and, you know, earn a roster spot. We're talking about a guy who could come in, have a really good camp, earn a job, get on the 53-man roster, and realistically compete at a position of need. So I'm really, really curious to see what he's going to do. Steelers should be really familiar with him. I believe they had him in for a pre-draft visit, if I'm not mistaken. If they didn't, I can't remember. I think they had at least one corner from West Virginia, but I can't remember who.
I'll look that up.
I might be wrong on that, but Either way, they're going to have some familiarity because he's, you know, again, went to West Virginia. It's just right down the road. It's not far away, as close as Zach Frazier is. So I'm really curious about Beanie Bishop. So that to me is a really interesting guy. Fits a need. I think it's really interesting.
Bishop visited, by the way.
Okay. I thought he did. Mm-hmm. So again, you're talking about a guy who they had in. I had an opportunity to talk with him. And listen,
camp sleeper. We're starting it already. Who was the camp sleeper last year? Akeem Butler? Who was the camp sleeper last year? Would it have been Akeem Butler?
That was one of them. I'm trying
camp
to
sleepers.
Yeah.
Who was everybody's camp sleeper from last offseason?
I don't like going in, I don't like going into training camp with a sleeper in mind already. I like observing the first couple of practices and then being like, okay, this kid looks different than the other undrafted guys. Yeah. Or this guy looks different. Like he actually belongs on an NFL team. Like that to me is like more or less what I work for. Yes, that's more reactive than, but I'm not in the predicting business. I'm in the reporting business. So I prefer to do that. I prefer to actually get a look and see how they fit in terms of like the other 90 guys that are the other 89 guys that are going to be, in La Trobe. So yeah, I don't know, but Beanie Bishop's really interesting to me just because again, very athletic and yeah. Oh yeah. Those camp sleepers, man. We're still in May.
Hey, just remember they put Kendrick Green at fullback last year at camp and everybody
Mike Tomlin really had a lot of fun with everybody last year.
Everybody went ballistic. I didn't write. I was, I think, the last one to write the Kendrick Green story, because at some point you couldn't ignore it. Like, why are you doing this? I think I was the last one to be on the Kendrick Green fullback train, giving him some kind of role before they shipped him off. But anyway,
Mike Tomlin is. He's going to have a lot of fun. Again, I can't wait until he talks on Saturday. I believe it's Saturday after practice is over.
Oh, just going to be.
Somebody's going to ask him about Justin Fields, about what Jalen Warren said about Justin Fields returning kicks. And I just can't wait to see his reaction to that question. And then if he does chalk it up under the whole, you know, or that's ridiculous, or we like to have fun with you guys or whatever. I can't wait to see him actually go into the training camp and put Justin Fields back there for just one rep alone, just to get everybody to go, what's going on?
And
it's so funny. And Josh, yes, he does. He does love to troll. He really, really does. And he's getting more and more, he's getting more and more obvious about it as he gets older. It's really funny, man.
He's becoming more direct with it. He's like, yes. Yeah, I just put that out there for you guys to chew on.
Yeah.
DeMond says he'll see us at training camp this year. Well, we look forward to seeing you. You'll see Amanda Godsey as well.
Yeah, I'm very, very much looking forward to finally being up there, getting tired of feeling like I'm covering this team, which I'm not. I can't cover the team when I live 1,200 miles away. But it's like you're trying to do something and it's just like way far out of reach.
Yeah.
So I can't wait until actually be up there and actually say, okay, I'm covering the team again.
Chris and then Amanda Godsey, who I think will be joining us Thursday to give a little introduction.
Yep.
Chris and Amanda are going to do phenomenal work this summer. Amanda is going to be joining me on Friday and Saturday on the South Side for rookie minicamp coverage. So we'll have Amanda on, I think Thursday, she mentioned would be good. So we'll iron that out, but to talk and get to know all of you and we'll get us set up for Friday. We're looking forward to that. Chris might be solo Friday because we will be somewhere along rookie making. I have to double check the schedule. I might be able to make it, but we have to double check.
Love to see.
And La Trobe, as Barbara says, La Trobe.
Do you say La Trobe or La Trobe?
I say La Trobe because
I say La Trobe too.
Because I'm not pandering.
Well, but I think if I'm not mistaken, I do believe that the majority of people that live there do call it La Trobe. I think. But if Now I'm starting to second guess myself.
No, they use the leg.
No. I'm saying my brother lives there. My brother lives 5 minutes from St. Vincent's.
Text your brother.
And I think he says Latrobe.
Okay.
I don't think he says Latrobe. So if I have a family member that lives there and says it the way that I say it, then it's fine.
Any final thoughts today? Any final thoughts today?
I don't know. No, I mean, I'm just excited. Yeah. Never mind. I'll just go and put it this way. I've already said it before. Stay off Twitter, please. Just stay away from all the rumors, man. It's getting ridiculous. It's not just the trade rumors. It's the Twitter insiders. It's the Twitter experts that claim to have all these sources. There's this one guy that's just been relentless with everything that he's reporting, and it's beyond ridiculous. It's getting to the point now where I just want to delete the freaking app and just be done with it. It's so bad. Yeah. Jordan, I wouldn't even call them influencers. They really do just claim to be insiders. I mean, if you look at their bios, they say NFL insider. It's like, that's yeah. I get all my news from CTE ESPN. Oh no. Boy. Antonio Brown.
DeMond, good for you.
Yep.
DeMond says, I have no social media. I'm anxious but patient.
It's so bad.
Good for you.
But see, here's the thing, though, is that these guys will all tweet something, and then all of the site aggregators will have to write about it because those site aggregators make money only one way, by you getting people to click on their stories. And so they will take anything that is getting any kind of noise and put it 250 words to it in an article, so that they can get clicks on it and make money from it. Even though I know some of those site aggregators and they hate doing that, but they're like, listen, I got to make a living. So it sucks because it's like a never ending cycle when it comes to that kind of stuff. And so since that stuff isn't just exclusive to Twitter, site aggregators get a hold of it. So if you go to FanSided or anywhere else to get your Steelers news or anything like that, first off, go to dkpittsburghsports.com to get your Steelers news. Second, don't go to places where, it's so bad. Because then it's all over Google, and you're like, you see it on Google, you're like, okay, maybe it's legit. It's not.
You good?
I'm good. That's my final thought. That's my final thought for the day.
It's a good
just thought. Be very wary when it comes to trade rumors, please.
There you go. My final thought is, Ben Cherington, what are we waiting for?
Yeah.
Let's go. I mean, what are we doing? He's Mark said at the top of the show, Paul Skeens Saturday, possibly. No, Paul Skeens is going to pitch in Indianapolis again. They have a process. They have a thing. They're figuring it out. I don't know what they're doing, but Paul Skeens is still gonna, I don't want to say rot. That's not the right word for it, but Paul Skeens is still going to pitch in Indianapolis at least one more time. So my message again, I think I said it last week one day too. Ben Cherington, what are you waiting for?
Now, the only problem is that Paul Skeens can't help them offensively, which is where they need the most amount of help. Hey,
it took them a couple of games to get used to that major league worst Colorado Rocky ERA. Took them a couple of games to get on that, and then they finally did. It was somewhat of a unicorn event that I got to see on Sunday. It was the most runs in a win since April 14th on Sunday. Almost a month. What are we waiting for, Ben Cherington?
It's only May. It's going to be a long summer.
Is the best offense a good defense, or is the best defense a good offense? Ask Ben Cherington that.
It doesn't work like that in baseball, man. You got to be able to do both. You got to be able to pitch and hit.
The only sport where the defense puts the ball in play. Yeah. How about that?
No.
Let's move on to Wednesday. We're going to get out of here today. He's Chris. I'm Corey. Thanks for joining us, everybody. If you haven't checked us out, by the way, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, we're also there. So if you missed yesterday's show or Friday's show or whatever show you might have missed, or even if you want to go back and listen to a take we had in December, for example, could do that on those apps for free at any time. So check those out, please. Please subscribe. Please like. Please share. Those go way further than you think, and they help us out a lot. So, mock draft tomorrow. 2025, anybody?
No.
2025 mock, anybody?
No, I actually got somebody in my live queues today who asked about next year's, like how to plan for next year's offseason. I'm just like, I'm not even thinking about that. I know the Steelers aren't thinking about that. So if the Steelers aren't thinking about it, I'm not thinking about it.
I looked at the quarterback class for next year. That is not looking like a good quarterback class.
I mean, it's not like I get it. I'm definitely not bringing that question up to like rag on the dude. Like, I'm not saying that at all. I understand like looking forward and being like, okay, you know, Cam Hayward's getting a year older. Like, I get that. Like, there are some issues, but we're not there yet. We got to at least see what this team looks like in the regular season before we start thinking about like, okay, we definitely need to start looking at next year's.
You're overthinking it. We have 11 months to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a while.
Let's chill on that.
Yep.
He's Chris. I'm Corey. This has been the Southside Beat. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.